This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Steve Vrabel is going to join us coming up in a few minutes. The voice of the Seahawks. We'll look back at this season, some of the fun that he had. We'll do that with Rabes about 10 past 9 or so, as this hour is brought to you by CHI Franciscan Health. Before we do that, speaking of health, Kyle, our producer, is out sick today. And that brings Curtis Rogers in to help us out, which is great. We love Curtis. You can hear him at night, Seattle Sports at night, most nights, unless there's a ball game or something, at 7 o'clock here on 710 ESPN Seattle. And Curtis does an awesome job, but one of Curtis's strengths is that he knows everything.
Yeah, did you ever watch Stump the Schwab?
Yeah.
You watched that growing up?
I've seen it.
Yeah. I met that guy a few different times.
Did you?
You know, he's like a sats guy. He was like on the desk with Vital through the years.
Basically, what Curtis is like. You ask him. He was over at the house the other day when we were watching. The Eagles Bears game, and somebody's talking. What were we talking? Like who was the
NFL
first
draft? Like first picks.
First pick. Curtis is just rattling them off like it's nothing.
So was the Schwab like your idol? Was he the guy?
I definitely watched that show. Like every now and then, I'll pull it up on YouTube and watch old episodes of it just to be like, all right, I still got it.
That's definitely weird. So we thought we would compete with Curtis in a little game of trivia to see whether or not we would just completely embarrass ourselves against Curtis.
This is 2-on-1, bro.
Yes.
It's so, you and I.
So Lydia's got some questions, and Brock and I will weigh in by saying one of our names, and Curtis will weigh in by saying his name. We'll see who can do better. We have, what, 10 questions?
This is inspired by Sporkle, and it's essentially all themed. We're going to be going for the leading rusher of each mentioned franchise. So career-leading rusher.
Have you ever played Sporkle, Lydia?
I have. Howdy has sent them to me sometimes.
Oh, really?
Howdy's super into that.
Are you into it?
No.
I never heard of it until this year, one of our ISO producers.
It is one of the great time killers on the internet.
Why do you make that face?
What?
When I never heard of it? You just did this like, of course you never heard of it.
Well, of course you never heard of it. All right. We've got 10 of these things before we talk to Rabe. So, all right, Lydia, who is the first team?
And so we'll just do, between the two teams, do you want to go whoever says?
Yeah, whoever says their name first.
Okay, perfect.
And don't you dare Google this, see, Raj.
Yeah,
no cheating.
I'm playing music. I can't do anything
else.
All right.
Okay, perfect. We'll start off easier. Detroit Lions.
Barry Sanders, Curtis. Barry Sanders.
Come on, guys. You got to even make a sound. Make
Lydia, we just weren't ready.
We don't need chastising.
Okay.
We just weren't ready.
All right.
We weren't ready.
Uh-huh.
I forgot my name. That was the problem.
You're Mike and
you can't
I'm
even
Brock.
Get your name. Okay.
You're Monica and I'm Monica.
Number two, Buffalo Bills.
Salk. Thurman Thomas.
Dang. All right. Impressive.
For
one
some reason,
one.
I knew that was going to be. I've been waiting to say Thurman Thomas this whole time.
Because most people would think O.J. Simpson.
No, it's Thurman Thomas.
No.
Come on. No, they K gun offense.
1-1.
Let's take it to the NFC West. San Francisco 49ers.
Salk. Roger Craig.
Incorrect.
Curtis, Garrison Hurst.
Incorrect.
Is it Frank Gore?
Yes.
Yeah, but you got to say your name
yeah,
first.
Yeah, you didn't say your name.
I thought Frank once Gore. We had both guessed it was over.
True.
So I thought we could just figure it out.
No point?
Yeah.
We're still 1-1?
1-1.
1-1.
7 to go.
Let's
Garrison
keep
Hurst?
Let's
really?
Keep it in the
That's
NFC West
guess.
As well. LA Rams.
Brock. Eric Dickerson.
Incorrect.
No.
Curtis
on,
Marshall Faulk.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
What?
Come on, Salk.
10,138 yards.
Come on, Salk.
It's not either of those guys. I
would've Curtis Steven Jackson.
Yes, correct.
Wow.
But no point, right?
No point.
Right. I would have definitely gone with Marshall Faulk.
Still tied, 1-1, right?
Yep, 6 to go.
All right, let's keep it in the NFC. Arrival of the Seahawks, Green Bay Packers.
Curtis Amon Green.
Correct.
Wow.
2-1.
Whoa.
I would have guessed Edgar
8,322 yards, Mr.
Whoa.
Green.
I would have thought it might have been like Paul Horning.
Paul Horning was going to be my guess. 3,620.
Close to that total. 7,990.
All right, so okay.
No, 7,000. No, not him. The next kid. The
Edgar
next
Bennett?
Question.
Oh, the
7,999 career yards for this franchise, Arizona Cardinals.
Brock. Emmitt Smith.
Incorrect.
Curtis Otis Anderson.
Correct.
Darn it.
3-1. Here
OJ.
We go. A couple more
one
for you guys.
One Super Bowl with the Giants.
Seattle Seahawks.
Curtis Sean Alexander.
Come come on, you guys.
Marshawn Lynch.
Really? Yeah, it was correct.
Curtis no, that
was
happened correct, before 2009.
Doesn't long?
Count.
How many did Sean have?
He had like 9,900 something.
What did Marshawn get?
9,429.
Marshawn got close to that, didn't he? 7,000.
Four not to according one? To the Sporkle quiz. I'm not sure of like the absolute
oh, no,
integrity.
Fine. No, that's fine. No, they're right. They got it right. 4-1. Come on.
All right.
Come on, Saul. Let's go.
Make one
this
of the four teams.
Dude, I'm the only one who's gotten
playoff.
One. Oh, chill out
you,
over
oh,
there.
Look at you pointed
Thurman
out.
Thomas. What's
yeah,
up?
You guys
course.
Ready?
Yes,
four teams out. Left in the playoff. New Orleans Saints.
Don't be that kind of teammate.
Curtis, Deuce McAllister.
Correct.
Wait, what was the question?
I don't know. You snooze, you lose.
You're fighting because you're credit. You want the credit. Look at me. I'm the only one that did it. Look at me as a teammate.
And what are you doing arguing while Lydia's trying to give the next one?
Teammate, would you please?
What do we got? I don't even think you guys can get back into this.
The deuce is loose.
That's all right.
Fine.
For your pride, get some back here. Atlanta Falcons.
Salk. Jamal Anderson.
Incorrect.
Brock. Gerald Riggs.
Correct.
Wow.
Whoa. Let's go.
That was a good pull.
Let's make a run.
That was a good
pull.
6,631.
Dang. Gerald Riggs.
I don't know
right,
where that
now
came.
This
the
is
guy
ended
up playing for Washington?
Don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
All right. The rusher on this list is the final question with the least amount of career
yards. Oh, really?
Yards.
Of any of the franchises.
And it is
yards.
New England Patriots.
Come on, dude. This is your hometown team, bro.
Curtis Lawrence Maroney.
Incorrect.
Come on, Salk.
I'm going to go,
make
man.
Make this competitive.
Salk. Craig James.
Incorrect. Sam Cunningham.
Oh, Sam Cunningham.
5,453 yards.
I thought Craig James might have gotten them.
I think we ended at, 4-2?
5-2.
5-2.
5-2.
C. Raj
no
takes
contest.
It.
Yeah, way to go, C. Raj.
Who's the all-time leading rusher for Washington?
Would it be Riggins?
I don't know.
Correct.
Is it?
Good job,
Brock. John Riggins?
Yeah.
7,472.
How about the Colts? It's got to be Edgerrin James, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Texans... Arian Foster.
Gotta be.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How about the Browns?
You have a guess?
Well, I was wondering, like, in Cleveland, because I guess I was thinking of the old, I guess it would be the Ravens franchise. The Browns are only a few years old in
Couldn't
that case.
Couldn't be Kevin Mack, could it?
I don't know. No, or Ernest Biner.
Ernest Biner.
I would have guessed Biner.
If it's the Ravens franchise, it's Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis probably right. topped both those guys. Who's for the Ravens?
Ravens?
Yeah.
Jamal.
It is, yep, Jamal, 7,800.
I wonder whether Biner
Cleveland Browns is Jim Brown.
Oh, so they're giving course. That credit. Interesting. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Good job,
so,
guys.
Have you heard of Sporkle before?
Yes.
You have?
Yes, I've heard of Sporkle.
Wow.
Brock, I've been sporkling for years.
Have you really?
Howdy talks about it nonstop.
About every 6 months, I start over again in the Countries of the World quiz, where I try to name all 197 countries, and I go every day until I get it 100% correct. Then I stop for 6 months and pick it back up again.
You know where Howdy got Sporkle was in his Gizmag. That's where he first discovered
Gizmag.
Sporkle.
Do we think Rabel knows what Sporkle is?
I don't know.
Do you think Wyman knows? Do you think Wyman knows what Sporkle is?
Come on, man.
What?
Just text messages. It. The guy who played in the NFL is horrible at this.
Whoa, easy.
Curtis You're actually really good at that. I was surprised.
Curtis Thank knows you. Everything easy. Except the salt content of the Puget Sound waterways. That's not right. That's just me.
I said earlier, we've all got our strengths. You can't be everything to everybody. Pete Carroll's defense-minded guy. He's not
Sean McVay.
Going
against the Bible on that one. I'm surprised.
What's that?
What?
Become all things to all men.
What?
Right in the Bible.
What?
Twice you're going directly the opposite.
Howdy, I'm talking about gifting, okay? We all have our own unique gifts, and they all fit together in the body. That is what I'm talking about.
It's like how Superman had to have kryptonite. I mean, you can't be perfect, and C-Rod has to have one area of weakness. It's just a tiny one.
That wasn't a real memory one, though. That you kind of have to figure that one out, right? That wasn't just sort of memory and knowledge. It's not like people are out there studying, like, the
all-time leading rusher.
Right. That's not a category.
A play-by-play guys do all the
Maybe.
Time.
Maybe.
Sure.
Rapes, who's the all-time leading rusher for the Seattle Seahawks?
Good morning, Rapes.
Rapes?
Good morning,
Hey,
guys.
There you are.
Hey!
All right. There you
what's
go.
Happening?
Oh, it's... Well, what time is it? And I'll tell you what's happening.
It's 9:10 this morning. Sorry to...
Yeah, well, you guys are like 5 and 6 o'clock guys. I was working last night when you were asleep.
Oh, I don't know, Rabel. I work all through the night, all right? I send emails
sure
1, 2,
yeah.
3 in the morning, buddy.
Yeah, and we call on Mike a lot for our scouting report show, and And so I know that he's up and about in the morning. So
no question.
There you go.
I'm always awake, Raves. It's the afternoon where you don't. Nighttime, maybe. Morning, yes. It's the afternoon where you will find me fast asleep with my eyes closed watching golf on the old couch. That's
don't blame you. Don't blame you at all.
Raves, how fun was this year?
Oh, gosh. It was a lot of fun. It was exasperating at times, but you always had to keep in the back of your mind that this was a young team. And, yeah, they had some veterans and some leaders, and great leaders they were. And even they, once in a while, made a mistake, and that's because there's nobody that's perfect. There's nobody that has played that perfect game, although Russell came pretty darn close, obviously, in Detroit with a perfect passer rating. But I had so much fun, and part of it, and Mike, you and I have talked about this a lot, and that is we thought that Pete probably had his, if not his best year of coaching, certainly his most fun year, because he got back to teaching again and to watch these young guys improve, get better every week. For Pete to say, we're going to go out and run the football better this year, and then to lead the league in it. There was just so many things that were fun. And then again, when that last day comes and your season is over, nobody's happy.
Yeah. You know, Rabes, we chatted with Wyman, what, last week, 2 weeks ago. We had a little huddle, a little get-together, you know, with different hosts intermingling for different segments. And I said to Dave, as he got close to this team and got to travel, which you've gotten to do now for decades around this team, if there were a few just stories that stood out. And he talked to exactly this point of how much fun it was and just watching the interaction of guys. Were there a moment or two this year? Was there a story or two this year that you kind of look back now and go, man, that either was really the start of it, or that really kind of encapsulated some of the fun these guys had?
Well, there were so many, and you know, and you'll find this out, Brock, you're not there yet with Mike and I, but when you get old, you start to forget things, and so I tend sometimes to lose track of exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel you, Raves. I'm with you right there, man. I feel you.
Thanks,
I feel
bud.
You.
There are a couple of things that I can say, and this is more on a personal note. So getting to talk to these guys in an individual sense, and that is both, you know, kind of away from the game, on a Wednesday mid-morning, and I go do my interviews for our scouting report show, and it's just me and whomever, and we sit down for 10, 12 minutes, and we just talk. And very little of it usually has to do with football, and most of it has to do with life and who these guys are and where they've come from. And I guess one of the things that struck me after getting to know some of these guys is, A, how open and honest almost all of them are, and, B, how so many of them have overcome such difficulty. I had a really good chance. I have gotten to know Frank Clark. I really like that young man. I know he came in with a little baggage, and he has continued to kind of battle those questions. But here's a guy who, A, was homeless as a child, lived on the street with his mom. This last year lost his father and two relatives in a house fire. I mean, things, and he's not, you know, he's not 27 years old yet. Things don't get much more difficult than that sometimes. And yet the enthusiasm, the joy of life that he has, the fact that he wants to be that inspiration for his own child, his own daughter, is just remarkable. And KJ, here's a guy that wants to go dig wells in Kenya so that the women and girls in the village don't have to carry a bucket of water 2 miles back to the village every day. I mean, these are guys that are motivated well, well off the football field, and that, I think, is what translated to the field and what made this team so fun and so easy to like and enjoy.
You recognize him, the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel, joining us here on Brock and Salk. If that was some of your favorite off-field moments, how about on the field? Were there a few plays, games, things that stood out to you as really being part of the fun of this season?
I think, as we talked about, the ability to watch this team say, we're going to run the ball, you know we're going to run the ball, now stop us. And for a long time during the season, there was a big stretch in there where almost nobody did, including the Rams, who are now in the NFC Championship game. The Cowboys, the first time, couldn't. The second time, they figured it out, but only because we had two guards that were gimping around on bad legs and played anyway. So those moments of being able to run, Chris, obviously, with his flip in the air was the play that everybody talks about. But not a lot of people talk about those tough yards that he got on third down and 4 or 5 and carried a couple of guys with him. How about down on the goal line where he carried a couple of guys in? I even said during, and Pete gave me a hard time about it, that I didn't think he scored from about the 4 or 5 yard line. He was stopped for a loss, and then all of a sudden he continues to break free and goes in and scores, and I almost lost my mind. Those kinds of moments, they just instill such a confidence in a team. And then Russell, the way he played, and yeah, I know early in the season he had a couple of pick sixes, and Tom Brady has had him, Drew Brees has had him, the best quarterbacks in the league. Ask Aaron Rodgers what his season was like this year. The ability to find guys in scramble situations. Tyler Lockett had the season of a career this year, a couple of careers. He had my entire career, in fact, in one season. So it's just so much fun to watch those guys and in those kinds of situations. And then the young guys on defense just make plays, all over the field. Yeah, they got beat once in a while, but yeah, they made plays too.
Hey, Steve, collective apology for Mike and I. I didn't know that we needed to apologize to you, but we do. Because,
why is that?
Well, because we played that highlight for Pete. See, on Monday mornings when we sit down with him, you're usually still sleeping, rightfully so. You should, since you're up so late working. But we usually try to find a highlight to play for him, and because it brings him joy. Like, you watch him just kind of light up. He loves it. And that game, because of that run, he had commented on that was one of his favorite plays. So we played that highlight, and that is why it was probably on his brain, and he got after you a little bit. So we take all responsibility, all blame for that, and sincerely, we apologize. Because you don't need to endure that stuff anymore.
Listen, also a guy who's getting old, any pub is good pub. So if coach talks about you somewhere along the line, even if it's to say, Raves, even you didn't think we were going to score, that's okay. I'm good with that.
Okay.
And it was fun to be able, it was fun, Brock, as you know, because you're in the booth every week too. It's fun to be able to make a call like that, to say, you even fooled all of us. Because you were so tough on that play, and we give you all the credit in the world.
So I think a few.
Russell from the shotgun. Carson, the single setback on 4th and 1. Bit of a high snap. Carson takes a handoff. Is he going to make it? No, he's not. No, he keeps driving. I think he might have got there. He did. Holy catfish. Chris Carson kept driving his legs, and he fights his way in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
That's a pretty good one, Raves.
Wow. Thanks for digging that up.
We got those capabilities.
That's going to be on the best of, I think, at some point.
I think it should be because you are every one of us watching it. I think it's awesome. It is the perfect description of that play. Is he going to make it? No, he's not. Oh, my God, he is. And that's what every single one of us thought.
Yeah, and imagine, and Pete actually gave me a little bit of a hard time later on that day or a couple of days later. And I said, and I looked at him, I said, tell me you thought he was going to get in when you saw him hit in the backfield. And he kind of smiled and he said, yeah, I thought he was going to make it the whole time. Okay, Pete, great. I believe you. But it was such a wonderful moment. And it typified what that team was. They were just not going to give up. And you saw it in every game this season, even the games they lost. They fought tooth and nail against Dallas. You're in a position with an onside kick and an Australian rules football punter who's going to try to punch one down in there and give you a chance to win the game. And I'm telling you, when the Seahawks scored and we get the ball back, everybody who was a 12 or everybody who's ever been in that broadcast booth with us knew, when you know Russell, you know that this team has a chance. And I fully expected them to come back and win. Just as Pete said after the game, you just expect that's going to happen.
Steve Vrabel here, just a couple last minutes. So what's the next step, Steve? This was a pleasant surprise. Nobody saw this coming. There are some that can say, well, I thought they could win 9 games, but to get to 10, to do it in really an explosive way that was so impressive in every game. Did not get blown out one time this season, but to win the NFC West, to take it from the Rams, to take that next step. From your view, what do they got to do?
Well, a couple things, I think. We need to get a little deeper in places. We need some help up front defensively. We need to get a couple more guys up there, both as pass rushers and as big run stoppers inside. Although I got to tell you, boy, Puna Ford came on at the end of the season, and he's just a load. He is a force to be reckoned with. So he was fun to watch. And whether he actually can step up and move into a starting role next to Jaron Reed, or he continues to be that backup, but still need some depth up there. I think need some depth at linebacker. You can never have too many good cornerbacks, nor can you have, in my estimation, enough good offensive linemen. So continue depth there. I'd like to see a big wide receiver. I keep watching the playoffs. Everybody's got a guy who's 6'4", got long arms, can run like the wind. People bounce off of him. And this is nothing against Doug and Tyler and David Moore, Jerron Brown. I think those guys are terrific. And again, Tyler had the game of his lifetime, a season of his lifetime, and Doug is just always there to make plays. But that big guy that you can go to in those clutch, tough situations. The other thing that needs to happen is the Rams have to start losing people. Their salary cap situation is going to get to them just like Seattle's did. Goff is going to start making $30 million at some point. Gurley is already starting to get into that range. You can't pay everybody. So now you start losing some of those great players that help you out, that help you become the NFC West champ. And then we'll see what happens when both these rosters get a little more evened up in the next year or so.
Raves, it's a pleasure. Thanks for waking up early and joining us for a few minutes. Always good to hear your voice on this show. Congrats on a great season. It was fun doing the spotlight with you. The 710 on 7 or with 710 every Saturday night on Kyra. So thank you so much. This is fun,
guys. My pleasure. And I truly enjoy listening to you guys. You really have a great sense for things, and I love the conversations you have with Pete, and you really get him to open up. So thank you guys for a great season, and what do you say, come August, we start all over again.
I think we probably will. Hey, when we do, is there a power ballad that's one of your favorite through the years? This morning's been a power ballad. A power ballad.
A who?
A power ballad. You know, some of the great songs of the 80s, some of those just rock. We got into it because of a Gillette ad, and who knows where these things start, but... Your music, were you ever a power ballad guy, Raves?
No.
No.
No. No.
Classic
I was
rock?
The 70s and the 60s music guy.
Yeah, could see
and,
that.
How do you feel about the fact that Brock couldn't name a song by The Who just 20 minutes ago?
Well, you know, they were a little earlier than Brock.
True.
Not that much.
But, you know.
A lot, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Okay. Not that much.
You know, if Eagles have a power ballad, I got something from them.
Great. Thank you, Raves.
Thanks, Raves. Maybe Lion Eyes. Maybe we'll play Lion Eyes for you.
There you go. Oh, I like that a lot.
I figured you would.
All right, guys.
Bye, Raves. We'll talk to you later. There's Steve Rabel joins us, of course, on the Venue Kings hotline.
I'll admit it. I got a blind spot. I have a huge gap. I'm not a 70s classic
Late
rock
60s,
guy.
Late 70s.
That's not my era. Damon loved it, and I think partly because I wasn't Damon, right? I wanted to go different route than Damon. He was the older brother. Like I went country. And he loved Led Zeppelin and the Stones and the Who. He's classic rock trivia. I think he'd go toe-to-toe with you.
Wow.
I mean, he is phenomenal. At some of the early, what were those little iPod things that you downloaded music? He was known around the NFL. He would put 1,000 of those together and gift them away and just an amazing job. But for me, a very
backup
big...
quarterbacks really have a lot of time on their hands, don't they?
No, that'd be all offseason.
Backup quarterbacks
really have a lot of time on their hands at all.
To really do nice things for everybody else on the team. All right, coming up next, a starting quarterback who actually has something interesting to say. I know, it's shocking, but it's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Who sings this one, Rock?
Is Whitesnake?
No.
Darn it.
This is Night Ranger.
Right.
Lead singer Night Ranger, Jack Blades, went on to be in... Damn Yankees.
Mmm.
Supergroup with Ted Nugent.
Your music trivia is hot.
Jack Blades. So, actually, Jack Blades might be the guy from Styx.
So
the
you
other
would
guy.
Rather, you were saying off the air, and I'll bring our show business and our personal business to the air here.
Yes.
Because you do have some great sound we will get to. But you said, why don't we do a little, instead of me and Lydia going toe-to-toe with like the better and who's going to vote and it's subjective, how about we do what we did today and
yeah.
you take on the listeners tomorrow?
Give me 3 seconds of a song and yep. we'll see who can call the song first.
Yep, you and the listener.
You got to name the name of the song and the band.
And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to McDonald's today. I'm going to get a $25 gift card.
Oh.
Right? And the winner is going to get either you're going to get
like
McDonald's and you're going to treat Cecily and Avery to milkshakes
they would
and Big
love
Macs.
That.
Or a loyal listener that's willing to go toe-to-toe with salt.
Cecily's got a little problem with McDonald's, which is that she doesn't like anything on her burger. She doesn't like ketchup. She doesn't want anything.
So, girl either, after my own
that's
heart.
That's Haley, too. Yeah. Haley,
so can you get it without ketchup?
Oh, everything. Sure. Absolutely.
I didn't know it was that.
Double check it, though, because it's
right.
probably, mm-hmm. yeah. It's
it never would have dawned on me
that
somebody would
adaptable?
Get their McDonald's burger and be upset that there was ketchup on it. There's like the smallest amount of ketchup
right.
possible.
Right.
Plus, how do you eat a burger without anything on it?
Yeah, she does. It's
yeah,
great.
It's
she
delicious.
Does.
She's very, you should try it.
She's a very strange little kid.
What time we want to do this tomorrow? So people can be tuned up and ready to go. Let's do it at 8.
8?
So I think
8
Hop's
o'clock.
At 8:30 tomorrow, so let's okay. do that at
kind
8.
Of a lead-in to Mike Hopkins.
I think
what
he's
a
power ballad lead-in. Guy.
All right, power ballads. Get yourself ready,
yep.
and we'll play some clips.
He's actually Meek Mill guy recently, remember?
Really?
Yeah,
ooh.
He's really into Meek Mill.
Whoa.
Like, he's
that.
Pretty cool. Like, Coach Hop, pretty cool.
Pretty cool guy. He also sounds a little bit like Chris Peterson, so
he
anytime
does.
You have him on, it's a little odd how they sort of are starting to sound.
So 8 a.m. tomorrow, McDonald's trivia.
We will do that tomorrow. Hey, so Russell Wilson was on with Dan Patrick yesterday and spent some time talking about Kyler Murray. Wanted to play you a few of these cuts because, look, this is Russell's in a unique position. Obviously played baseball, was drafted, has threatened kind of to go back and play baseball at some point. He's going to go to spring training again with the Yankees this year. Gross gag. Blah. But here he is when asked what Kyler Murray should do.
Ultimately, where do you see yourself? You know, when it's all said and done, you know, what impact did you make and where did you make it? And I think that he's going to be able to make impact everywhere. I think that he's going to be special no matter what he does. And, you know, and he's a great, great football player.
And he's already had to do that in his life. I mean, remember, he started at Texas A&M and then he's like, nope. And I got to be willing to do this and take a little bit of risk and still try to play baseball and did. And then had the same route that Baker Mayfield did. And Baker did it from Tech to Oklahoma. He goes A&M to Oklahoma. He's a one-year guy. It'll be very fascinating. I was looking even yesterday. It's already pretty polarizing on the old draft boards and where he fits. And you're not seeing him number, you know, in these top 10. This is a
not
this,
yet.
This is a loaded
not,
group.
Not yet.
I know.
Baker Mayfield
and
wasn't
Baker
here
was
last
at the bottom
year
of the
either.
First round, early second on this day last year. And he just kind of ratcheted up and up and up and up. But this is a guy that is not, from what I understand, having been around him a little bit, having been around a lot more of the people kind of second level with him, is he's not shy of confidence.
Are we going to get one of those Blaine Gabbert guys this year? The guy who does diddly squat in his entire collegiate career. Nobody knows who he is, but he's built like a quote-unquote NFL quarterback. And so right near the draft, all of a sudden, he starts rocketing up the boards. Because
well,
of
would,
guys
you put
like
the Missouri,
Trent.
Would you put the Missouri guy there right now?
I don't know. Well, isn't that where Blaine Gabbert went?
Yes. I mean, from the same school. Now, he's very talented and big and athletic.
What's
and,
his name?
What is it?
Drew Locke.
Locke. Mock Locke. Yeah, Drew Locke.
Drew Locke sounds like an NFL quarterback. Sounds like exactly who I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it is, because he's the same thing. He's got a rocket arm and everything else, but he wasn't first-team All-SEC, and kind of tough to do that in this league where
sure.
it's at right now. But he would be that guy. But you got a bunch of dudes. Kid out of Ohio State's also a one-year starter, Haskins. This Kyler's a one-year starter. You know, they're trying to capitalize on that 1 year, and I think Russell makes a good point. Ultimately, where do you vision yourself?
Yeah.
Well, what do you see yourself doing? What do you really want to wake up in the morning and go do? And I think ultimately he wants to go attack football.
Well, I think Russell also makes it clear it was a hard choice for him.
I think also, too, is he may have to play it out. He may have to, you know, try to do both. I always dreamed of playing both and everything else. And, you know, playing the quarterback position, if you really want to be great, take a lot of time and a lot of energy and study and film and everything else. And but, you know, he's capable of anything.
I'm honestly going back and forth.
Is he capable of playing quarterback and doing another sport?
No. You're not capable of doing that.
No,
Deion Sanders could do it, and Brian Jordan could do it, and Bo Jackson could do it.
DJ
no.
Dozier?
Yeah, you
don't
could.
You leave DJ Dozier off that
DJ
list.
DJ Dozier could do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're not doing it being an NFL quarterback. You're just not. It's not going to happen. And this isn't me putting limits. This is time. This is your job. This is what is asked of you, you know, as a leader, as a franchise guy from April to January. You know, and hopefully even into February. I mean, just not, that's not feasible and possible. For those guys to parachute in, those crazy athletes like Bo and DJ Dozier,
Thank
you. Brian Jordan.
Keep mentioning DJ Dozier. It's important to me.
Yeah, those guys could do it.
He's one of your people, too. Okay. Russell also spoke a little bit about some of the differences between playing football and baseball, in case you didn't know what they are.
You know, the good thing about baseball, you don't get hit as much. The thing about football, you have the ball in your hands at every play. And so there's a balance of everything. And if you can find that balance of those two, where you can be special and no matter what happens, I think you'll make the right decision.
I think he will. I think he did, and I think he's going to try to be the number one pick and convince Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona that your coach wanted me, said he would take me number one way back when in October when he never envisioned being the head coach, and maybe even at that time Kyler never envisioned with his $4.5 million that he'd made from the Oakland A's and the signing bonus that he'd be giving it back and going and pursuing these dreams. But they both are, and they could be in that spot. You know, immediately Clayton shoots that down. That's not happening. They committed to Josh Rosen. He was a top 10 pick and everything else. But, you know, at that position, crazy things happen. And to write the script right now of where you think it's going to go, you're going to rip it up a few times. Just like McShay's mock drafts. And he's open to that. I mean, his first mock looks nothing like his last. And, right. And you know, to judge all of this before, you know, the next 3 months.
Well, they haven't fully done all their homework. I mean, that's got to happen.
So what has more? I'm still twisted about this one. I'm still trying to answer this question, which you should be able to do definitively in this job for 10 years. Which of these decisions is the less risky for this kid to choose? Would it be less risk for him to just take your $4.5 million, go play baseball? You don't get hit. You can play it for 20
years.
What
do you get if he's drafted 15th? What is his initial contract?
See, Raj, see what the 15th pick got last year. So I know at the bottom, Lamar got $5 million or so guaranteed, 4.5 at 32.
Sorry, so if he's in the first round, he's already going to get guaranteed between when he's getting 20, in baseball.
He's somewhere between 25.
So all he's got to do is get drafted in the first round.
Yes.
Well, then baseball would be a riskier choice. Because the chances are he's going to go in the first round and probably even higher than that. And in order to really capitalize on his money in baseball, he needs to be great in his first 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. Not that you can't make.
Because most people say baseball is a less risk. You know, Deion Sanders.
Well, it's the less risk for the average human. Mm-hmm. It's not that much. I mean, if you can just be a good baseball player and do your 6 years and get out of arbitration and get yourself into free agency, you can play forever, right? And not get hurt. And yeah, less risk. But football probably has the quicker payoff.
And I think you also...
Kind of like in life. Yeah. Baseball is a long-term payoff as a fan.
I think
football's quick, immediate payoff.
I think I would probably land on that side of it, too. And I would also say, go look at the top 10 picks in baseball. We've done this because our beloved Mariners have flopped on so many of these over the years. Mm. Go look at top 10 baseball picks and compare those to top 10 NFL picks. And I'm really curious, you know, maybe I'll do a little research tonight, but I'll do a little database tonight to go look at that and see my hunch. I don't know, C-Raj, you're the trivia master, just your hunch and your gut. Do more top 10 picks in football hit over the long term than they do in baseball?
Oh, yeah. I would say NFL draft is a much more, you know what you're getting more so than the Major League Baseball draft. You asked what the 15th pick in last year's draft made. Colton Miller, left tackle for the Raiders, he signed a four-year, $13.5 million deal with a $7.8 million signing bonus.
I mean, it's really just, it's not even close.
If you can get
is he the one
the
who
round?
Got embarrassed by Frank Clark?
Yeah, that poor guy.
Yeah. He got paid $13.5 million for that, to get spun around backwards and upside down? Yeah. That poor dude. All right, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. You know what to do. Text us questions, and we'll answer them coming up next here on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, time to answer your questions as we do at the end of every show. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. A lot of music questions today based on the show that we've had.
Mike Life is music.
Some food
music
ones, of course, like this. Well, this isn't really so much a question as it is a comment. Funny how Salk talks a big game about burgers, but when he came to Campus U Totem Burger, he ate chicken nuggets.
Ooh,
boo this man.
Shoot.
That's true. I did do that.
That was that day with the guy that had the chaps on,
yes.
Right? The chaps only.
Two things about that, though. One, I just had burgers like twice within the last day.
Yeah,
I know.
Losers.
And second of all, when I went back to Campus U Totem Burger the next time, I got a burger.
Yep.
So, chill, bro.
No.
Just chill.
Mike, when you're out in public, people are watching.
Apparently. I think we talked about that.
We did.
Yeah.
Next question.
Jerks, are you allowed to degrease your pizza with napkins? You're not eating it for nutrition, it says.
I mean, if it's cheap pizza, yes.
I'll do that, yeah. If it's just grotesque.
Do that, come on.
I generally don't feel like I need to, but I don't have any problem with doing it if it's like, hey, look, there's just a pool of grease on there.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
No. That's junior high having pizza every day, the pizza that they make in junior high.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Because it was a vegetable at the time.
Sure.
That's good. The cafeteria said it was a vegetable.
Why wouldn't
it? Pizza was?
Yeah, back
because
then.
Because of the tomato sauce?
Sure.
Yep.
Saul, can we get an update on Wendell? What's he been up to lately? Surprisingly little.
Not surprisingly.
Wendell's done almost nothing. Yeah, I can tell you on Sunday, everyone was up, and I went for an early run, came back, and everyone was out walking around downstairs, and turns out Wendell was still upstairs in bed.
Great.
Not sure whether he had forgotten to get up or if he was having trouble extricating himself from under the sheets.
Sounds like he's living the dream.
He is. Trying to fatten him up. He's actually lost a little weight.
Yeah, I noticed that when he was in here.
We've been giving him some extra food.
Good.
Poor guy. Jerks, would you rather be wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants in 95-degree weather or a t-shirt and shorts in 15-degree weather? And it's 95-degree weather all day. Not close for me.
You'd rather be sweating than frigid.
Short and shorts? Shirt and shorts in 15-degree weather?
I mean, that's dangerous for your health.
No kidding.
Poor Titus asked me last night, because he's all in on Mahomes, so he's going to be watching this sucker on Sunday. He's like, if it's negative degrees, can people die?
Eventually.
Yes.
Well, there's people.
Doesn't even have to be negative degrees.
You could die of exposure.
Remember those dudes at the Minnesota game in the stands, no shirt?
Crazy people.
Oh. Yeah. Poor Cam's hands were iguana hands. His skin was peeling off. Cam Chancellor. No thanks. Yeah, put the sweats and sweatshirt on. I'll deal with the sweat.
Well, you know me. I like to get in my hot car and turn on the seat warmers.
Yeah, what is your car temp set at?
Let's not talk about it.
What is it?
I can't set it to an exact degree.
If you had a car that had that, you would set it to 77, right?
Yeah, probably. Maybe like
what's yours set at?
68.
That was mine.
Yes.
Sometimes 67.
Yeah, I'll go 67 too.
Next question.
A teammate one time, I got in the car with him. He had like an expedition or something. 83 degrees. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You absolutely have to be kidding me.
I told you that happened to me with a member of our corporate group here when I was down in Salt Lake City. It was no joke. It was 100 degrees out, and he had his car set in the 80s. And there were six people in the car. I was like,
can't do that.
Hey, I was sitting up front. I was like, do you mind if we'd like turn it down a little? He hadn't even noticed.
Oh my God. I think this was the same teammate that said to me, you ever wonder why they got so many expeditions going up Everest? Like, why don't they take a navigator? Why is the Ford Expeditions always going up Everest?
Okay, not my soulmate.
No,
walking it back.
The Lincoln Navigator, much better ride. Take the navigator up.
Jerick's inspired by your tribute to Monster Ballads, what do you consider to be the best movie soundtrack?
Oh, great question.
Brox, you're automatically
it's top
going Top Gun.
Yeah,
like,
it's
there's
Top
no,
Gun.
Don't even
it's
debate.
Top Gun.
As the whole soundtrack, though?
Oh, yeah. Kenny Loggins rocked that thing from beginning
Righteous
to end.
Brothers?
Yep.
Berlin.
Hey.
Not to be confused with Europe, who we talked about.
I'm of my life.
Jerry Lee Lewis probably on there too. For Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah,
Top Gun strong.
I'll kind of go off the board. There's a lot of great ones. Singles is one of my favorites, obviously. I love the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey soundtrack is great. I think I'd go Stand By Me.
Classic. Mm-hmm.
I must
choice.
Have listened to that a million times. That and Good Morning Vietnam are probably the two I've listened to the
great
most.
Pull.
And Good Morning Vietnam has all of the bits from the movie. Pulp Fiction be up there too, but I think I would go with either Good Morning Vietnam or Stand By Me.
Great pull.
The Big Chill's a great one too, if you want to go oldies.
Next question.
Jerks, if you could only have one for the rest of your life to add to your meals, would it be salt or pepper?
Salt.
Right.
Salt.
How is this even a debate? Come on. Salt all day.
Okay, how about next level down from salt and pepper? What would be the next level down of
garlic
seasoning?
Salt. Red I think pepper. I'd rather have garlic salt than pepper. I use garlic salt on almost
really?
Everything.
Really?
Yes. Meats.
Yeah, take salt out of the equation because that's not fair. That's like the Alabama / Clemson of this discussion.
Okay. Garlic salt is almost more just garlic, though.
Sugar.
I'll go red pepper flakes.
I can live with
I do
those.
A lot of red pepper flakes. Salads, pastas, meat. I'll do a lot of red pepper flakes.
Taco seasoning.
Pizza. Taco seasoning. Tuscan seasoning.
I'll probably go rosemary. Call. Dried rosemary. I put rosemary on everything. I love it. You just dump it on asparagus. I put rosemary on just about everything.
Interesting.
Although recently I found that lemon is one of those things.
Yeah.
Lemon, yeah. And then like, what do you call it? When you take the rind of the lemon, you get zest.
Oh, you got zest.
I zest lemons constantly in my house.
Have you ever had lemon salt?
Yes. And okay, I have a lemon pepper right now in my house.
Woo!
Dude, I'm lemon.
You obviously
all day
put
right
the
now
lemon and the zest down the disposal, right? And
yes, because it's good up for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good for the disposal.
No makes question.
It, that's how you get rid of that garlic yep smell. Yeah, I'm on that.
Good.
I'm on that. Don't worry about it. Jerks, how many dual pro sport athletes have there been, and who was the best? I don't know if I could give you an exact number.
Bo is the best.
He's even got the best bobblehead going on right now. Did you see this by Kansas City that they're putting out?
No.
Is it cool?
It's him like breaking a bat over his head. It's pretty amazing.
Don't sleep on Jim Brown.
Lacrosse?
Yeah, don't sleep on Jimmy Brown.
Yeah. I'm going to sleep on it.
No, don't sleep on it.
And it's so long ago.
How about best football basketball? Charlie Ward?
Heisman Trophy. Oof.
Charlie Heisman Trophy winner, point guard for the Knicks a long time.
Danny Ainge was professional in both. Played for the Blue Jays and the Celtics.
Elway.
Yankee. Professionally.
Yeah. Cup of coffee.
Did he?
Oh, he leveraged it anyhow.
But he didn't play in the big leagues.
I don't think he played in the bigs, no. Danny Ainge played in the bigs?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
He did?
Didn't he play with the Blue Jays in the big leagues?
He did.
Well, now I'm doubting that, but I always thought he did. It's before my time, so I'm not sure.
It's kind of fun to have C-Raj here, right?
C-Raj, did he play in the bigs?
He did.
There you go.
Spent parts of three seasons with the Blue Jays.
Thank you.
Hit 220. Two home runs.
The answer to this is DJ Dozier, so let's move on.
Michael Jordan.
My guy.
Yeah. Jordan didn't make it to the bigs, right?
No, but...
But he did make Space Jam.
Is Tim Tebow going to end up being that guy? When it's all said and done? No.
Well, his agent is the Mets GM. It seems like he's on his way.
See, Roger, you have fun with
it's
us
a good
today?
Oh, absolutely.
It was great to have you.
It was nice.
I never get to see you guys because
it's true.
I'm always working afternoons.
You're like Rabel.
Yeah.
You work afternoons and nights. We work mornings.
You doing a show tonight?
No, it's Hot Stove League tonight.
Hot Stove League. Good. So you go home and get some sleep.
Hey, dude, study up, man.
All right.
Got to take down the listeners
Power Ballots tomorrow at
8. 8 a.m., $25 McDonald's gift card on the line. Hop at 8:30.
SVP on Thursday?
I think so.
Scott Van Pelt,
we may have a conflict. But
busy
working
week.
We're working.
All right, we'll catch you guys in any event tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, the hang
is in the bar, Mark.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!